Welcome. Welcome indeed to Yes, our number two of the Mark Moses Show. Let's go out to Vero Beach. Let's talk to my great friend, Jason Redman. Always love getting him on. Big Buccaneers guy. Coaches football. He talks about football. Oh, it's the best time of the year. Jason, how you doing today?
Mark the Shark. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, always love getting you on. Let's start with your Buccaneers real quick. How big was that win beating the Eagles on Monday night?
Oh, my gosh, that was huge. Now everybody had to give us a little bit of a chance, right? Like a little bit of opportunity, knowing the Eagles were basically in dismay. Everybody's feuding among each other. A.J. Brown's quitting the team. Looks like Antonio Brown. I mean, it's just one thing after another right over there at the Eagles. So they had to come into Tampa who was ready. I saw a picture of Baker Mayfield warming up earlier in the week. He had a can of Copenhagen in his pocket. I was like, we're definitely winning this thing.
Wait. What was that diss you said? That was pretty good. He's not A.J. Brown. He was more like Antonio Brown, is that what you said?
That's it, guys. I'm taking my stuff and going home.
This is a very, very tough question, but I will ask it to you. Did the Buccaneers win, or did the Eagles just not even show up? Or is it both? What's the best way to describe it?
You know, you can get that answer from two sides of the game. The first half, I think the Buccaneers won. They earned it in the first half. The second half, I think the Eagles just fell apart. They just gave in. I think they lost that football game because they still had a chance. They got the ball in the second half. They were primary to go down and score on their first possession, make that another possession game, and then we got football, right? Now, Hurts could not figure it out, couldn't handle the pressure, and it just seems like his guys were quitting all around him.
Dude, there were so many drop passes by the Buccaneers in the first half. It could have been worse. You could have dropped 50 points on that team. I'm not kidding.
Like, if you thought that was bad, Mark, I mean, imagine if we don't have tackle football and all we do is play flag. That's the kind of football you would see. That's crazy, isn't it? You're supposed to be professional players. You say one of them, number 13, is going to be an elite receiver. He is an elite receiver in the NFL. He's going to be a big-time free agent. Well, he dropped two surefire touchdowns that night.
I know, dude. Okay, you've watched this team all season. This offense has been up and down. Essentially, the last game of the season, you're at Carolina, you win 9-0, and you don't score a touchdown. There were moments in that game where a Buccaneers guy catches the ball, when they did. They caught the ball, and they're like, is anyone going to try to tackle me? Okay, fine. And then they just started running. It's like, the Eagles, it's stick a fork in them. It's not even the right terminology. There's some bad mojo, something really awful, and they never recovered. But you know what, buddy? Good for the Buccaneers. That's fantastic. How sweet was it going to sleep Monday night knowing your team's moving on?
It was amazing. I mean, anytime you can beat Philly, I mean, in any sport is fantastic because their fans are just, you know, they're obnoxious at best. So, and then you look at you go back to what you're saying about the receivers. Those receivers are like shoplifters. Like,
yes.
Not sure. Nobody's like, I'm gone. I'm going for it. I'm out of here. It was just fun to watch.
It really was. And what was more satisfying for you? When you shut down the tush push for the 2-point conversion or the safety on Jalen Hurts or both? All of them are correct answers.
Yeah, they're all of the above, right? Like you always pick that when your Christmas tree and your test and the scantron, all of the above. But I liked the safety more because you can't say that we did anything wrong. On the tush push, we grabbed the face mask. Should have probably been a penalty. Let's do it again. Then we could have said something. But we got the safety on our own. There's nothing there. That was completely legal. That's mine.
Was that their best game of the season?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, in all three phases. I mean, kicking game was phenomenal. I mean, those long field goals he nailed, and the defense played legit. They played hungry. They played aggressive. They couldn't be stopped. And then offensively, I mean, Baker was zipping the ball in there. If the receivers catch their targets, I mean, we're talking about how Baker Mayfield could be in the MVP running after one game.
I agree with you. We're here with my good friend Jason Redman talking Buccaneers football. That was big. I mean, you look at this season. You start 3-1. Then you get to December and you're 4-7. 4-7. Then you go 5-1 down the stretch. Your only loss, which was a killer, when you're at home, the regular season finale at home, you get punched in the mouth by New Orleans. Then you beat Carolina. That's why when I look at this matchup against the Lions, which you played earlier in the year, you lost 20-6. I think they can win this game. I am confident Tampa Bay can go there. What do you think of this matchup against Detroit?
You know, the funny thing is, I was just talking to somebody about this. Like, you feel bad for Detroit, right? Like, it's almost like, all right, we beat Philly. It was a good year for us. We probably need another one. Let's let Detroit have this one, right?
No.
But then, all in all, when you look at the tall tale of the tape, we say, okay, can we handle the pressure of the Lions? Check. I think offensive line's good. Can we get past their linebackers and D-backs? Check. I think our receivers, if they catch their targets, they're one of the best receiving corps in the league. Now, can the defense get to Goff? That's the thing. Detroit Lions offensive line is fantastic, I think. But if you can rattle Goff, that's when he starts to make his mistakes. And we get one, two turnovers here and there, that'll change the football game. It's all about, you know, field position, especially when you're going against Dan Campbell and that bunch. I think the one or two turnovers will be the game changer right there.
Let's say the Lions, hypothetically, they go up two touchdowns. Can the Buccaneers come back? Are they built for that?
We've seen it. I don't know about this team, right? Like, everybody counted this team out, so they've been kind of underdogs all year. But we haven't seen the team. Like, if Brady was at quarterback, we've seen them go down almost 30 points and come back. You look at the Chiefs game. They ended up losing by 2 or 3 points before the Super Bowl, and they were down 30 at halftime. That team was different, right? The moxie was different. Can Baker Mayfield do that, run that gambit, right the ship when they're taking on water? I don't know. I don't know, Mark. I don't know if that team's built for that.
I don't know either. And that sums up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know. I mean, look.
Who are they?
There is a scenario. I brought this up last hour. They could host the NFC Championship game. That could happen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the Packers win. That's a big one.
I mean, in your lifetime, have you ever hosted the NFC Championship game?
No.
No.
No. I got to check and see if we ever rented out the big sombrero for it. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so. I'm not kidding around. I mean, we need to go to the Guinness World Records book and figure this out.
Oh, my gosh. I never thought about that.
All right. My thing with the Lions is they are a great Cinderella story. They are. And I love the update to the stat where, okay, it was we've won one playoff game in 32 years. And even before that, and it's funny, like, even before 91, 92, that's it. So, like, in 70 years, they won one playoff game. Well, the update is they've won two playoff games. I know, it's so crazy to say. Your Buccaneers, since you got Brady, you've now won, since the pandemic, 2020, you've won six playoff games. Think about that.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Six.
That's crazy.
Six, and you should have beaten the stupid Rams. But, yeah, you didn't cover Cooper Kupp. It's ridiculous. All right?
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Yeah.
One guy you probably should circle.
You didn't get it done. All right, you going? All right,
we're good.
Are we going high score or low score for Lions-Buccaneers?
Oh, man, again, you know, another one. Like, it depends. Like, what teams are going to show up? Because I think the Lions are a mirror image of the Bucs. They could be the same football team. So you could go out there and both teams could score 30, or both teams could have a soccer game and it'd be 12-9. You know?
I know.
I just don't know, Mark. I'm going to say low scoring in this game.
All right, you're going low scoring. Does Baker Mayfield get the contract extension now from the Buccaneers?
I think he gets one. It's not going to be as glorious as everybody thinks it is. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Baker's still Baker, and I think he's earned the right for another two-year contract. Mm. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy, nor do I think he tests the market. I think he signs. I think he's really happy where he's at. I think he gets the extension, but he'll be playing for another one.
If he said, I want $35 million a year for 2 years, would you give it to him?
No.
No. You would not do it?
No.
All right, so $30 million. Would you do that?
Hallie Mandel there? Is the price right?
The briefcase.
No.
No.
No deal.
$25 million a year.
Now I think we're getting closer, but I still think we hold out. Like, we've got the keys to this car. You still got to earn a little bit. I think we got to go down. I think you're looking. No, I say no deal.
If he starts the NFC Championship game, would you give him $25 million?
Yes.
Yes. Would you give him $30
million? No.
No. Would there be a scenario you'd let him walk and you bring someone else in?
Yes.
You're such a negotiator. I love it.
I got Kyle Trask just waiting in the wings. Have you seen the guy play?
No.
I mean, every time he comes on the field, he looks great.
Here's Kyle Trask. He never played in high school. Then he played 1.5 years at Florida. Then he's been in the NFL for 3 or 4 years. He hasn't played. This guy's lived the greatest life of any quarterback. I'm sorry.
Great. Oh, my gosh. I want to hear what Cat Williams says about Kyle Trask. Yeah, I know.
Do you know my – I just want you to know this. Okay, for everyone listening. So I saw the Cat Williams, Club Shay Shay interview. I watched it. I called up my dad, and I was like, look, because my dad loves Cat Williams, loves him.
Yeah.
And I go, you have to watch this. And he's like, how long is it? I'm like, 2 hours. He's like, I'm not wasting 2 hours. 4 days later, okay, 4 days later, Mark, I watched the whole thing. He couldn't help himself. He loved it. Did you watch it?
It's worth it. I did. It took me like 2 days, but I did watch it all. And it's worth it. It's worth it. I just don't know. I mean, who's going to go on there and talk like that and not be able to back it up? And if you look at his history, I'm buying it.
I feel like the FBI had to like sit down with their top code breakers and they had to listen to the whole thing because like what made it great with Cat Williams, he's talking so much nonsense, but then all of a sudden he says something and you're like, you know, maybe that is true. And I feel like the feds have to break it down as well. Like, interesting. Maybe Steve Harvey does wear a wig. Maybe.
It's almost like he knew he was wiretapped and he just knew when to stop and start again. It is beyond, I don't know. I mean, it was fun to listen to, though.
No, okay, my favorite part, it just made me laugh. He talks about Kevin Hart, where he says, Kevin Hart never had a following, and he just showed up to California, and all of a sudden he has a sitcom, movie deal, but he's never, what was the jab he said? He's never met anyone who's actually gone to a Kevin Hart comedy show. So great.
Yeah, I've never met anybody actually attended a show.
Jason, I have not. Have you?
No, sir, I have not.
No. I like you said it like you're under oath in front of Congress to give your answer. I like that. That was pretty good. All right. I'm looking up. We're here with Jason Redman. All right, here's over under. All right, I'm going to bring it up. The spread right now is 6.5 points for Detroit at home. The over under is 48.5 points. So are you taking the under then? You going with that?
I'm taking the 6 and the under.
All right, that's what you're going with. Okay.
Yep.
The other game, I want your pick. We're here with Jason Redman, does a great job there in Vero Beach. Who do you like? Niners or Packers there in San Francisco?
Niners. Come on.
Are you sure?
Come on.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You just feel like the Dallas Cowboys are so terrible that you don't believe in the Packers winning another game.
You've got the Dallas Cowboys, and then you've got the playoff Cowboys. Yes, that was a recreational football team that the Packers got to have spring training against. That was their spring game. Now they're ready for San Fran.
It was over in the first quarter, on the first drive, that game. It was over right away.
It was over at kickoff.
It was over. My Bears lost the week before 19-7 at Lambeau. And I bet you the Cowboys are thinking, oh, man, we're going to kill the Packers. Nope.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. All right. So you're taking Buccaneers and Niners for the NFC Championship game. Let's go.
I'm taking Niners. I'm giving points. I'm taking the over. I'm giving that. I'm going whole Shambo on that one.
Okay. AFC, who do you have? The Texans or the Ravens in Baltimore?
Ravens.
Ravens. Is it a close game?
Yes.
I agree. I agree as well. I think there's so much pressure on Baltimore to get it done. I could see them where it's close and then they pull away late. All right, the other game. The game Tony Romo can't wait for. Coming up Sunday night. The Chiefs and the Bills. Who do you got?
Buffalo, baby. They get it done.
They finally get it done. Is it close?
I don't think so this time. I think the Chiefs are on the verge of an Eagle meltdown. And I'm going to say it right now, Mark, on your show, right now, you've seen the best Mahomes. He will not be any better than he is today.
Ravens and Bills. All right, so that's your Final Four, which is a great Final Four. It really is.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so where are you watching the Buccaneers game this weekend?
By myself in the closet.
I knew it. Look, I agree. I agree 100%. Like, if it's my team and it's that serious, you have to be blood related to me if we're going to watch it together. Or, like, you can't.
Yeah,
it's too emotional. I know. I get it, man.
No cell phone.
Yeah, I'll text you before the game, good luck, and then I won't bother you. How about that?
Yeah, like, I don't check it. If we lose, I don't check it the next day. If we win, I'll check it after the game.
I like it. And if you lose, you'll probably be like, here's what I do. When my team emotionally loses a horrible game, then I go on YouTube and watch, like, funny cat videos. Just something to calm me down.
You watch little kittens dunk a basketball?
Yeah, I have to. That's exactly when my Bears lost to the Packers in week 18, I had to take a walk, and then I played NBA Jam for 45 minutes, and then I got ready for Dolphins and Bills for more pain. That's what I did. That
was the game. For more pain. Exactly. Thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Exactly what it was. All right, before I let you go, you texted me this morning, Jason Redman, about a story going on with tackle football, where maybe you ban it under the age of 12. What's the latest on this story?
So it started in California, and we saw legislation came out yesterday. The governor's not going to sign it, and that's probably the smartest thing he did. You wouldn't get anything done like this in an election year, period, anyway. But then the thing that really got me and bit my neck was Illinois, Maryland, and New York. Those are three highly athletic states, so to speak.
Yeah.
Football's pretty big in all three of them as well. Now, California, I call it the nanny state. I'm not real worried what you're doing over there. Like, we understand you're here, but we don't count you. But when you get in Illinois, Maryland, New York, that's starting to entertain these crazy things like this, it bothers me. Because that's enough to change our country's viewpoint, our country's actions toward things. And to me, football is the best sport ever created. Football is the greatest sport of all time. And I mean, you just can't keep blaming everything on them, right? CTE is easy to point fingers at the gladiator sport, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, football players are probably the most protected athlete to walk on a field or a court. If you look at the statistics, soccer and lacrosse have the most concussions across their sports than any other sport. They don't even have protection on most of those sports, and it's high contact. You don't think about them because they don't do a lot of the things football does, and again, it's not on every TV every Sunday, Saturday, and Thursday nights, Monday nights. So, you know, we got 53% of the Americans playing football in this country. Now, they want to look at flag football and all that. That's great. But here's the thing. Like, my kids all play tackle football starting at 9 years old.
Okay.
My youngest one, after the first season, Mark, I did not do it anymore. And here's the reason why. It wasn't because of CTE. I'm a former football player myself. I played at the collegiate level, and I've been around. I got a lot of friends in the pro game. But it wasn't because of that. It was because areas were going private. They weren't doing the governmental, you know, recreation departments there. They're going private. These private entities have got a huge overhead. They're not doing the due diligence of training their coaches and doing things properly. I took my son out because I felt like the coaches weren't doing the proper techniques for other kids, and I didn't want another kid to hurt my kid. That's basically where I was at with that. The game of football is getting lost because our country is getting away from sports, and they're not doing things diligently wise on the local scales. And that's where I'm at, Mark. This would hurt.
How old were you when you played tackle football?
9 years old.
Okay, so let's go over this. So when did your kids start playing? Like, what did they start out with? Just flag football before 9 years old? What'd they do?
Yes.
So you do that.
Yeah, we started out flag football at 5, which you can do tackle football at 5. And that's completely discretionary on the parents. I mean, it's available. You can do it. And again, if things are taught and coached properly, there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, and football, you know, they've always, all the stats says a play might go 8 seconds at the longest. You know, if you're getting hit in football, you tend to know you're getting hit or you're going to deliver a hit. There, as long as you're taught the proper way of landing, catching, and receiving, you're fine. It's the ones that are going out there and being taught the wrong way and not going over the fundamentals and jumping right into the hard-hitting nonsense, and that's how kids are getting hurt. But again, at the end of the day, banning tackle football at 12 years or younger is complete knee-jerk reaction.
So what would your age be then for the limit?
Listen, like I said, I took my youngest out. I started him at 12, and we went to middle school. It was a little bit more controlled environment. I think that's going to be a parental discretion. I think you need to look at the league that you're joining with your son. If you're going to be a coach, check your box. Make sure you do your due diligence. You know, learn, read everything you can about it. If not, learn your coaches before you sign up and do your thing. But for the most part, I think 9 to me, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, if the kids can handle it, that's a lot of weight to put on your head with a helmet and a lot of weight to be running around the pads. I think that's up to, again, that's a parent thing. I think 9 is where you start, and it should be governed by weight and age restrictions like it was when I played. And I think that takes care of that. But we got a lot of former athletes that are seeing the evolution of recreational sports out there and are using them as cash cows, and they're going out there and we're just throwing kids into the mess now. And we're not doing the due diligence of properly setting it up.
Did you play flag football? Because that wasn't a thing when I was a kid where it was this big like it is now. Was it for you?
No, we played two-hand touch.
Yeah.
And Mark, I was a fat kid, so I didn't want to play flag football. I didn't throw me the ball.
I don't. Stop it. Hey, listen. Flag football. That did not get big. Yeah, we would just, as kids with our friends, we would just play two-hand touch. Now, were there times we were dumb playing tackle football? Yes, we did that. I won't lie to you. We were just with our buddies and no one's using pads. We would do that because we're stupid. But mostly it was two-hand touch. Flag football did not get big until maybe early 2000s you start seeing it. I'm just saying I'm an old man. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Jason.
No.
It's all over.
I agree with you completely, and it wasn't. It really wasn't that big. I mean, they've always had the men's local league, you know, in your recreation levels.
Yeah.
But after the CTE movie with Will Smith, I think it was like 8 years ago, that was a pretty big blockbuster movie, right? So that brought a lot of this to the table. There was a lot going on in the back for it that we didn't know was going on in the NFL with some of their former players taking their own lives. CTE is a problem. I'm not going to discount that. That's a situation, right? But as technology grows, as the game evolves, we get better. So I can't say that looking back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, these guys played with different types of helmets and they played the game different.
Yes.
That the same situation is now. You know, and I think moving forward, saying that tackle football is the problem, I mean, these kids can get a concussion running around the cafeteria chasing each other in between lunchtime. Yeah. So, I mean, what are you going to put them in a bubble or put a padded helmet and walk around school all day? I mean, that's not the answer. We've got to keep the kids moving, playing sports, and I think that's the thing. I mean, we've just got to do our due diligence and set leagues up properly.
That's very well said. What sports are you covering right now? Or are your kids playing anything? What's going on, buddy?
I'm looking at, of course, we're covering football. Spring football starting to start with colleges. As you know, student athletes are reporting back to their football teams. My son actually is already back at FIU, and he's reported for weight training and they're doing conditioning. So they're going to get ready for their spring coming up next month. And then we're covering basketball. Basketball is picking up, and then of course lacrosse on the high school and collegiate level right now is on fire, Mark. I mean, this sport is taking off. It's almost as big as pickleball.
Yeah, look, I've never tried the pickleball. Have you tried it?
Yes.
Is it fun?
Ping pong.
Is it fun to play?
Yes, it's grown up ping pong. Are you kidding me?
All right,
it's so much fun.
All right, I have to try it. You have to bring me out there. I have to try this once in my life. I took badminton in college as an elective, and that was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
I got to ask, did you pass?
I did pass. Here's what happened. So I could have taken weightlifting or badminton. So as you know, I took badminton. I had to take the easiest way out. The problem was, the guy who coached, you know, the guy who coached the class, he was the men's soccer's coach. And it turns out he also was like an alternate for the U.S. Olympic team. And he was a psycho. Okay, and a psycho as well. So, like, you're thinking badminton. You're thinking, like, oh, it's like grandma on 4th of July weekend. We're in the backyard. I'm going to hit her the shuttlecock with grandma. It's going to be a good time. No, this guy thought that we were on the Chinese national team and every game was life or death. It was one of the hardest classes I took in college. That sport is hard.
Kim class, is it easier?
Oh man, I'm not kidding around. That's one of the hardest things I ever had to do. That is one of the hardest sports. You can make fun of me all you want. Go try high level badminton. It is impossible. Okay, you don't know where that.
I'm scared.
You should be scared. I'd rather look. Where's the basketball class? Just it drove me crazy.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh man, it was. Oh, I got many stories. Gosh. Look, when like getting ready for the halftime show for the Super Bowl and it's Usher and I'm hearing all those songs. I start reminiscing about late 90s, early 2000s. And I got upset, Jason. I did because I miss those times in the world. I really do. Can we go back? Come on, man. Give me back that.
Please. Please.
That's right. You had your flat top then. It was fantastic times. So his name
is. We got to find Doc Brown.
Jason Redmond. My man, thank you so much for your help and have a great day. All right.
So much fun, Mark. Thanks, buddy.
All right.